Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
October 14th will mark the annual celebration of Piamenco Day in Tupelo, Mississippi. This free event is held in Fair Park and hosted by the Chickasaw Incana Foundation. Learn more at inkana.org. This project is partially funded by a grant through Visit Mississippi.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. We've got an audience today in the background. And appreciate you guys being with us today on this edition of the Rebel Report. Obviously not live. My parents are in town. So we're going ahead and recording tonight's episode instead of going live because we're going to be, you know, doing all that stuff. They're coming in from South Carolina today, going to spend the weekend here with us in Mississippi, and really looking forward to that. Glad that you guys are here. Don't forget, in the comments, it is still score prediction time. I've been in contact with last week's winner. If you want a hat from College Corner, I've got four options for you. There's a red with Rebels and a Nike check, a powder blue, same thing, a camouflage with script Ole Miss, and a trucker hat with the baseball UM logo. So one of those four choices, courtesy of our friends at College Corner. Check them out online, collegecornerstore.com. And there's obviously a location right there in Oxford off of Sisk Avenue, and two here in the Jackson area as well. If you want to look good for game day, that's the place to go. And drop your score predictions in the comments. The closest will get a hat, courtesy of our friends at College Corner. Please, by the way, subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. Wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And before we get into the meat of today's show, which is an interview that I did with Wilson Alexander of The Advocate, covers LSU. Really good stuff there from him, previewing the game from the Tigers' perspective. There's an injury report. And I already said that we would not talk about injury reports anymore with any sincerity, but we have to. We have to talk about this injury report. I know. I feel dumb doing it, but there are some things in this injury report that are at least interesting enough to discuss. Number one, Jaden Williams is listed as out. I know there's been some, you know, conflicting thoughts about what that injury is in terms of out for the season, or maybe he can be back by the end of the season, but he is listed as out for Ole Miss in this game. He's the only player that would have played for Ole Miss, or you would have thought would have played for Ole Miss in this game, that is listed as out. Doubtful is interesting. Kalo Stone still listed there on the injury report. Jeremy James listed as doubtful. And Matt Jones, the running back, clearly got hurt at the end of the South Carolina game, listed as doubtful for this one. Is this the week that we're finally going to see some Ulysses Bentley? Now, there's also been some conflicting rumors and stuff about why or why not he is playing. For whatever it's worth, I think that the idea that, you know, he's lost a step and that's why he's not playing ahead of a walk-on has never really sat right with me when he's, you know, returning kicks. If he's so unexplosive that he can't get snaps at all at any point this season, then why are you allowing him to return kicks? That never made sense to me. I think that it's more of a doghouse situation, but that question may be answered this weekend. If Matt Jones is limited or cannot go, then we're going to find out truly what Ole Miss has in the running back room and what they're going to do in the absence of Matt Jones. Questionable. Prince Liu Manmielen is listed as questionable, which is fascinating to me because the initial thought was that was going to be a multi-week injury. Even if he doesn't play this weekend, the fact that he is already listed as questionable going into this game is encouraging relative to what you thought the injury could have been. If he's able to give them some snaps, then even better. But if he's questionable now, you know, there's a bye week upcoming 2 weeks from now. They're playing Oklahoma. You would think that there's a chance that he could play. Lewis Moore is listed as questionable. That one would be a big loss if he can't go. Trey Harris listed as questionable. I think he's going to play. J.J. Pegues is listed as questionable. I think he's going to play. And the list of probables is good for Ole Miss. Henry Parrish is listed as probable. He was banged up at the end of the South Carolina game. If he can go, and they say he probably will, that's a good thing. Dottery probable. He's going to play. He was on Feinbaum this week. He's going to play. Rhys McIntyre is listed as probable. Pettis is listed as probable. Both of them got banged up in the South Carolina game. Pettis got banged up late in the South Carolina game, so sounds like he's going to play. Brandon Turnage as well, and Chris Graves all listed as probable. So there's actually some things to take away from the injury report, I think. But the running back position is the thing. If Matt Jones can't go, are we finally going to get our look at Ulysses Bentley for the first time, really for the first time this season? You know, or at least you've seen Ulysses Bentley in the past at Ole Miss be highly, highly productive and explosive. Well, we'll see if he's still got that step this weekend if Matt Jones, in fact, is unable to go. We'll get to our interview with Wilson Alexander right after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by, presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm. If you are a small business owner, or you've been personally injured, or you may have a contract dispute, this is the person you want to do business with. I loved, as I told you guys earlier this week, I love to see in the comments of the post-game show somebody that has done business with DJ Gregory and had a glowing review about that experience. You'll have the same thing. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, he's in Saltillo, but can service you anywhere in the state of Mississippi. You may not need him today, but if, especially if you're a small business owner or you just want to make sure you know where to go if that day comes where you are injured or have a contract dispute or need some legal advice for your small business, save this number, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't delay, call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report podcast. So here that interview is right now. Wilson Alexander covers LSU for The Advocate, and I will see you on the other side.
Brian Kelly said that Lane Kiffin was good for college football. What kind of reverse psychology tactics is he playing this week?
I don't know that he's really trying to play any reverse psychology. That's some funny banter between Kelly and Kiffin. Gosh, was it back at Media Days, I guess, or something like that, where they kind of poked fun at each other? I can't even remember what the context of it was now. But, I think he was just sort of asked about Kiffin this week and I think gave a pretty diplomatic answer and kind of kept the line moving, really.
So we'll truly start with defense. So as you know, you covered it. LSU defensively was pretty pathetic a year ago. They bring in Blake Baker, a big-time hire for LSU. How much better are they defensively, and is it still, though, a point of weakness for this team?
Yeah, you know, talking to, like, Pete Jenkins, former LSU defensive line coach, and Roman Harper, who a lot of folks know on the SEC Network this week about that very thing, they both kind of said the same thing, which was they're better, but they're still not very good. but fundamentally, LSU is playing a lot much better defenses in terms of gap integrity, setting the edge, things like that, especially up front. You know, this isn't a team that doesn't necessarily like high-level defensive tackles, but they're getting the most out of what they have at defensive tackle. Those guys are playing fundamentally sound to this point. They've got some solid edge rushers. They've got really active linebackers. The issue with LSU is still, though, that secondary is not what you are accustomed to seeing out of an LSU secondary. That still seems to be the weak point. They're giving up about 235 yards per game through the air right now. 8.1 yards per attempt, which is really low in the country rankings there in that category. So they've got a lot of pressure. They've been able to get off the field on third down pretty consistently, which is a big improvement from what they had last year. They've also, I think, generally tackled better. But all in all, it's still a defense that has not turned a huge corner, just because some of the personnel that they still have is probably going to take a few cycles to kind of rebuild their roster in a few spots.
How does that happen? Because you're right. I mean, when you think LSU, you think defense, and really every level. You think nasty defensive linemen, you think big-time linebackers, and of course, elite-level secondary play. It's almost bizarre to hear that LSU as a team's weakness could be the back end of their defense. How does that happen?
Well, you look back, it's really, going back about 4 years now, just not great recruiting. Kind of at the end of the Ed Orgeron era, you had guys like Eli Ricks, who's a five-star, started since he was a freshman. He left after that 21 season, ended up transferring to Alabama. And, just a lot of situations like that where a lot of guys left LSU had to then go into the portal for 2 years to try to patch it up. And the first time it worked out okay. They had a lot of veteran guys who weren't like high draft picks, but played solid football for them in 2022. And then 2023, you know, they had to do the same thing because they had gone in there and gotten a bunch of one-year guys. They went in trying to get, transfers in the back end of the secondary who could be there for multiple years. And a lot of those just did not pan out. Talking about, you know, guys like Juice Chestnut, who's now back at Syracuse, or, just some other players who didn't end up. Denver Harris, you know, was a five-star guy that had tried out, who had had some problems at Texas A&M, and he didn't pan out. And so there's just a lot of situations like that to where now, you know, they've been trying to rebuild it through recruiting the high school ranks, but they haven't, under the previous defensive staff, gotten the high-end guys that now Corey Raymond is getting. You know, LSU now has a five-star and DJ Pickett committed in this upcoming class, and Raymond has had some of the high four-stars, too, coming in at corner. So, you know, if those all sort of pan out the way that Corey Raymond has been able to do so in his career in terms of recruiting, you know, cornerbacks, then over time LSU will get back to that place. But at the moment, it's just sort of a few years of recruiting misses and not having great evaluation in the transfer portal has kind of put LSU in this spot.
How would you grade Garrett Nussmeier's season so far?
Definitely an A. I mean, not giving it an A+, just because, you know, there's a few things that he needs to continue to kind of clean up here and there. But, I mean, this is a guy coming in as a first-year starter who, you know, he had a lot of name recognition, but he had only started one game to this point. Now in his first full year as a starter, he's done a lot of good things. Talking about one of the top, you know, statistically, really one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the country. And he's really sort of the offense has been at its best when it's gone through him. He's made some extremely high-level throws at times. Just a couple come to mind from when LSU played South Alabama 2 weeks ago. He had these two back-to-back throws over the middle where he hits Mason Taylor into this tiny, tiny window. And then right after that, throws over the middle to Tyron Lacy downfield for a touchdown where he's been layering those throws over the middle beautifully. LSU needs to continue to stretch the field vertically. He's missed on a couple of those kinds of passes, but we know the arm talent is still there. He's made some fantastic throws down the sideline on some deep balls. And so, you know, he's looked in control. He's looked confident. He has not looked like a guy who is going through, you know, first year as a starter to this point. You know, tough test ahead. But he passed the first one, mostly against South Carolina, you know, being able to still win on the road, in that environment. And he's just got to continue to play that way as they go through the rest of their SEC schedule and continue to just kind of clean up some of the little things that he needs to work on.
How much different is the offense now that Daniels is gone and they can't exactly do the same things with their legs? How much of the offense have they changed as a result of who's playing quarterback?
Right. It's all in the run game where you're seeing the most difference. And I guess that spills over into the pass game in some respects too, but because those things are obviously tied together. But the most visible difference for watching LSU was on the ground. You know, not having that threat at quarterback to be able to take off and run. Teams had kind of stacked the box early on against LSU, and that kind of made it tough for them to run the football. And there was also, you know, was it the offensive line not necessarily blocking the way that it needed to in the run game? There were some questions about that early on. And, you know, some of the boxes, I'll be interested to see what Ole Miss does if they kind of try to stack the box and dare LSU to throw the football. It seems like, you know, but I think Garrett Nussmeier's taken advantage of those in a lot of opportunities and has maybe opened that up for the run game a little bit. But without him running his rush ability, teams don't have to account for that. And so LSU, over the offseason, you know, kind of changed what it was doing schematically. A lot more activity up front with the offensive line, you know, getting them out, pulling offensive linemen, on counters and power and, tosses and stuff like that really weren't in LSU's playbook or just weren't used from that playbook last year. They did so much inside zone and zone read with Jaden Daniels, and they've had to adapt schematically a little bit without him. And the results at this point have been kind of mixed. If Caden Durham continues to play the way he has, then they seem to have found their running game with him. But otherwise, they've kind of struggled to really get things going on the ground this year.
Yeah, so do you think that they've found it? Is Durham the answer, or is it more of a product of competition?
Durham seems to be the answer. I mean, they're going to continue to use a rotation. That's kind of what LSU has done the last few years. Seems to be what Brian Kelly prefers. It's a little bit of a running back rotation. Josh Williams will still be a factor in that. Caleb Jackson, although he has had a really underwhelming sophomore season, would still be, you know, give some touches here or there. But it's really gone through Durham. And Brian Kelly said after the South Carolina game when he had his first emergence was, look, this is a guy who made things happen, and that you have the running back in his feet kind of just have to make things happen sometimes. And in a way sort of spoke to that their running game hadn't gotten going because it was maybe someone went on the other running backs for not having sort of, you know, bounced the place to the outside like Caden Durham did and breaking tackles like he did in South Carolina. He's brought a lot of that to the table here, has a bunch of broken tackles, a lot of yards after contact. He's got great vision and balance. So he has not been going down just after the first hit. I mean, he's got a ton of speed, too, which he really showed off against South Alabama, taking his first two touches for almost two touchdowns. I mean, he had an 86-yard run and, like, a 71-yard catch out of the backfield. They turned into a touchdown on LSU's first offensive play where he's got to be outside and ran past everybody. He's got a ton of speed, and with those other elements to his game as well, he's been able to sort of open up the LSU run game.
Going to be pretty loud in there on Saturday, huh?
Oh, yes. A sellout. It's really the best home game that us had yet this season, of course. I mean, they've, you know, played some other home games, but they played UCLA at 2:30, and it was brutally hot. A lot of people left because it was just so hot. And the weather's going to be gorgeous, and it should all line up to be a really hot.
Really good stuff there from Wilson Alexander. Appreciated his time. Hope you guys enjoyed that. He does a really good job of covering LSU. The Rebel Report is also brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You get a complimentary office technology assessment. Tell them what you need, what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. It's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority with 16 locations here in Mississippi. So there's very likely to be one in your backyard, and they make you their priority with their local loan servicing and decision-making. It's you don't have to get on Zoom or talk to somebody out of state. It's somebody you sit down with face-to-face because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Fascinating game this weekend. I'm really excited for it, honestly. I think we're going to learn so much about Lane Kiffin and this team and Jackson Dart. And I think Ole Miss will go down there. I do think that they will go down there and get it done. We've talked about it this week. I think almost all of the matchups favor Ole Miss. Now, offensively, they're going to have to score some. I don't think that despite the front six being elite is what it is, and that traveling, I still have questions about Ole Miss's secondary, especially stopping this passing attack from LSU. So they're going to have to score some. But I do like Ole Miss's matchups basically everywhere else on the field. So we'll see if they can get it done in a hostile environment in Baton Rouge. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back live after the game and on Sunday as usual. Appreciate you so much. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff, and I'll talk to you after the game.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.